Will you stand now for the prayer for illumination and remain standing for the scripture reading? Like the dawning of a new day or light in the darkness, may your word illumine us on our way, and we, with open hearts, hear your word gladly. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." When they had heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy Epiphany.
Happy Epiphany.
I want to thank Evelyn for the invitation and the opportunity to speak this morning. It's always a joy to do that here and to be in worship here, and so I'm glad to be with you. Would you bow with me for a moment of prayer? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I sit down not because I'm infirm, but to emulate John Wesley, who in his later years had to preach sitting down. That's not true, but let's talk together for just a few minutes this morning. For the past several years, I've had the opportunity to experience worship from the other side. That means sitting where you sit and worshiping this direction. While I'm doing that, not always during Evelyn's sermons, but occasionally, I ask myself questions like, why am I here this morning? Really and truly, why did I come this morning? Or maybe I ask myself, what do I expect to happen? Am I come with an expectant heart? Or do I know if God is even really in this place? You ever have questions like that? Maybe not. Maybe you never think those kind of things, but those are the sorts of things that retired ministers think when they sit in the pew. The one thing I suspect that we all have in common is that we're seeking, as we come to worship, some new awareness of the reality of the meaning of life and of the purpose of life, and it's to reflect on those. And I hope that's why you're here this morning. A little boy told by his mother to go wash his hands to be safe from the germs was heard to be muttering under his breath, "Germs and God, germs and God, that's all I ever hear about around here, and I've never seen either one of them." You may identify with that. God is not always apparent to us, not always easy to see. I've come to see Christianity more as a pilgrimage rather than a destination. I grew up in the tradition of the destination image of our faith, just couldn't wait to get to heaven. But I also heard the words, "Some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good." And so this morning I think of it more as pilgrimage. And that's where for me Epiphany comes in. I need guidance. I need light for my journey. Epiphany itself means an unveiling or a revelation, when new light is shed upon the way, upon the situation. An epiphany is an experience of a kind of sudden and striking revelation, some new realization that you haven't had before. And it's often characterized when we are heard to say, "I see now." Sometimes it's characterized by, "Aha, it's a new awareness." Most of us have had more than one epiphany in our lives. Most of us could be ready for another one. Epiphany is a play on light. It's both revealing light and it's also guiding light, as it was for the wise men. For to them was revealed a new birth, and to them was revealed the pathway to that birth. One of the epiphanies that I had several years ago that still is very fresh in my memory, and I cannot remember the exact place, but I remember what happened. It was as though I had an awareness that for the first time that I was valued by the Creator for who I am. Not for what I do, not for where I've been, but just for who I am. That was a life-changing experience, to be valued just for who you are. And I hope you have an experience similar to that. Sometimes our journey takes us into some of the most unusual places, like a men's homeless shelter, or perhaps a rural village down in Dominica, maybe a dirt floor church in Monterrey, Mexico. Sometimes the most difficult journey for us is to go home, to go back to that place that first instilled within us the values and helped us to be the person we are. Sometimes it's just difficult. Several years ago, you may recall, there was a game called Waldo. Where is Waldo? You remember that game? And you were to try to find him. And then a little bit later, they got sophisticated and came out with a video version of that, which they called not Waldo, but Carmen Sandiego. And you were to try to also locate where he was. The goal was to find the character either on the board or on the screen. The story of the wise men and that first epiphany is one of searching for the Christ child. Where is Jesus? It's full of intrigue and mystery, as those visitors from the east, having observed a new star in the night skies, they researched the writings, even the ancient Hebrew writings, and they saw where a new star usually signaled the birth of a new king. And so they started out with the light of that star and with whatever light, other light they could find, to find him and to pay homage to him. "Where is he," they ask, "that is born King of the Jews?" Where is Jesus? Where in the world is Jesus? What's so important for you and me to know where Jesus is this morning? When persons used to say, "I found Jesus," I used to remark to them, "I never knew he was even lost." That's a little bit snarky, wasn't it? The beautiful message of Christmas and Epiphany is that Jesus found us, that Jesus came to us, and Jesus brought hope. As Christians, we believe in a revealed religion. It's not derived by diving deeply into the depths of our psyches. It's not stumbled upon during long walks in the park, immersing ourselves in nature. It's not something that arises out of our common human experiences. There's a great deal more here. Christianity is a revealed religion. All that we know of God comes to us as a gift of God. If God did not choose us out of love for us to reveal God's self to us, then we would not know God. We would be sitting in the dark attempting to give form to the shadows. We would be wandering in the recesses of our own limited imaginations when we use the word God. I think you're here this morning because you want to understand better and to follow this God. Thank God, God has shed light on the world, and one of the themes of Epiphany is light. I've always loved this sanctuary from the standpoint that light comes streaming in. It's not dark. It illumines. It opens. Jesus later would refer to himself as the light of the world. There's so much we do not see, so much that's hidden from our eyes, but light has come. They say that our human eyes are stocked with some specialized cells that are so sensitive to light that they can detect even the tiniest light. We are created that way. About 50 years ago, actually 50 years ago this year, I came out of seminary and went to four churches up in Virginia. As I've said on several occasions, you're so good when you come out of seminary, they give you four churches instead of one. I had never hunted. I had no idea how to do it or anything about it. Deer hunting, I'm talking about. And so I spent the evening, that evening before we started to hunt the next day, in the cabin with the crew. Now, they are a crew, I would tell you. The ones that are still left are still a crew. But anyhow, because I was a new hunter, they paired me up with this grizzly old fellow by the name of Shine. Now, I never really heard why they called him Shine, but I think it had something to do with white lightning. I'm not real sure about that. But Shine was a great old guy, and he had an old International Harvester Scout. And so the next morning, way before daylight, we loaded up into the Scout, he and I, drove out from the cabin down a dirt road, finally to a paved road, got on a little bit better paved road, drove for a long period of time, got off of the paved road, got back on a dirt road, went up through, I didn't know where I was. I mean, I was so lost, we were gone for nearly an hour. Finally, he pulled up over this top of this high ridge there, and we pulled into a little flat that later I discovered was called Chestnut Flat. And he stopped and he says, "We're here." And I said, "Where?" He said, "We're right here." He says, "Look right down there." And I looked down the mountainside there, and through the trees, there was this tiny little light. He says, "You know what that is?" And I said, "I haven't a clue." "That's the cabin we came from. We've been driving for an hour, and we were within probably 300 yards of the cabin just to get to that spot." I thought about that several years later when one evening I hunted too late. It got dark on me, and I got turned around, and I got lost. And as I was walking along, looking down over the edge of the hill, I saw the light, tiny as it was, and it led me safely home. I'd like to think this morning that that light that came into the world so many years ago is still shining and guiding us to where we need to be. Shine now has gone on to his reward. I still don't know how he got his name, but I do know that what our world needs is a little more light in the darkness. In order to capture the light of God that's coming into the world, we need a whole new set of sensors. I wish there were more light, don't you, for the complex issues of our day, for the questions of life that we come together with. But you know what is important? That we use the light that we have. Would it be safe to say that what we come this morning for is we hope for just a little more light to help us on our journey? Many of you probably know that the wise man really didn't come on Christmas Day. Tradition and probably history tells us that they came 2 years later. So we skip 2 years. We're here now today to commemorate the coming of the wise man. You also may want to know that those wise men, we don't know that there were three. They just assumed from the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh that there were three. Now, there are other traditions that name them, Melchior and all those others that I don't remember this morning. Shortly after their visit, the scripture says they went back to their homes, back to the east. But also we do know that something else happened then, and that is that Jesus and his parents, Mary and Joseph, fled into Egypt from Herod, who had passed a decree that all of the infants 2 years and under would be killed. Do you hear that? Jesus was a refugee. Jesus was an alien, if you will. In his book, Losing Moses on the Freeway, and I highly recommend it, Chris Hedges writes, "In 1983, I was in a United Nations camp for Guatemalan refugees in Honduras. Those in the camp had fled, fighting. Most of them had seen family members killed. The refugees, when I arrived on a dreary January afternoon, were decorating the tents and wooden warehouses with colored paper. They told me that they would celebrate the flight of Mary and Joseph and the infant Jesus to Egypt to escape the slaughter ordered by Herod of the children. Why, I asked one of the peasants, was this an important day? It was on this day that Jesus became a refugee. They understood. He says, I knew this passage by heart. I had heard my father read it every year. But until that moment, standing in a muddy refugee camp with a man who may not have been able to read, I did not understand. This passage meant one thing to me and another to parents who had swept children into their arms and fled to escape death." You see, on that day, Chris Hedges had an epiphany. He began to see his world and the world in a new light. His eyes opened to a truth that he no longer could deny. And that truth was greater than fences or walls or security systems or anything we propose to do to keep people away. Where is Jesus in the world? In those children and their parents who are standing at the border. That's where Jesus is. In the homeless shelter, where me speaking as a layperson one of the first times at the devotional in this homeless shelter, I later learned that my biological father was in the audience. Or maybe it was in a rural village in Dominica, where an elderly nurse by the name of Nurse Musgrove still practiced her skill in a place that we wouldn't even take our dogs to. Perhaps it was in that joy to a group of people that were worshiping there in Monterrey, Mexico, in a building that had some cinder block walls, but all the cinder blocks had different colors because they had scrounged them where they could. And half a roof covered it because they didn't have enough tin to cover the other half, and a dirt floor. And yet they sang and worshiped with all the joy one could have. Those are epiphanies. And finally, concerning the gifts of the wise men, Frederick Buechner writes, "The gifts that the three wise men or kings or magi brought to the manger in Bethlehem cost them plenty but seemed hardly appropriate to the occasion. Maybe they were all they could think of for the child who had everything. In any case, they set them down on the straw, the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, worshiped briefly, and then returned to the east where they had come from. It gives you pause to consider, for all their great wisdom, they overlooked the one gift that the child would have been genuinely pleased to have someday, and that was the gift of themselves and their love. Where is Jesus in the world? Or maybe better, like I wrote it in the title, where in the world is Jesus? Like wise people of old, if you truly seek him with your heart, you will surely find him and find his peace and his joy and his love. There's light enough in our world. Just open your eyes and see. Christina Rossetti captured it best, I think. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.